In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear family, today we celebrate First Saturday. Thus, the holy sacrifice of the Mass is offered to the Immaculate Heart of Mary this morning. That is why parts of the Magnificat are parts of the prayers of the Holy Mass. You may have recognized them even in Latin. Let us begin by recalling some of her words in English. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Your family, we venerate the Blessed Mother of God precisely because the Almighty has done great things for her, precisely because she is the Mother of God. Veneration is not optional for any Catholic or Christian, precisely because she is the Mother of God. All ages will call her blessed precisely because she is the Mother of God. And she was made our mother precisely by the words of our Lord in today's gospel, "Woman, behold thy son." What most people don't get, because they're too busy with temporal matters, and more temporal matters than we can possibly imagine, is the truth. What they don't get is the truth about what Jesus said when Jesus gave his Blessed Mother to us. And we know that our Blessed Mother Mary was a widow at this point. Otherwise, just think about it. Otherwise, Joseph not only would have been at the side of his crucified son, and also because there would have been no need for Jesus's words to Mary and John in the first place, because Mary would not have been in need of a protector. If we understand this, let us comprehend, perhaps for the first time, that upon the death of the husband, it was the son's duty to take care of his mother. So it follows that until Good Friday, Jesus the Lord oversaw the well-being of his mother. As I was pondering that this morning, I kept thinking, how did he actually do that? Okay. You can imagine, when you see that movie, The Passion of Christ with Mel Gibson, you see the mother and the son interacting. It's so profound and beautiful. But there would have been very temporal needs that our Lord would have had to attend to with regard to his mother to make sure she was okay. My guess is that none of us have given much thought to the duties of a Jewish son toward his mother after the father, in this case, Saint Joseph, had died, and how Jesus had taken care of his mother, which is why, at his point of death, he entrusted that care to Saint John, the beloved apostle. Well, here are some thoughts on Jewish law regarding the relationship between parents and children, between mother and son. In traditional Judaism, parents and children are bound to each other by a series of commanded responsibilities and sacred practices. This is beautiful. It's something people don't get today in our day. The modernists, the godless. Parents are seen as partners in God's creation of each human being. And God's a part of it. That's something they've forgotten a block up the street. Almighty God is part of the creation from the moment of conception, and they choose to kill it anyway. Parents are seen as partners in God's creation of every human being. Similar to display disregard or disrespect or violence towards one's parents is to do so to God. Again, some thoughts on the Jewish law regarding this relationship. Both sons and daughters must honor mothers and fathers by providing them with food and drink, clothing and covering them, and providing for their mobility. Louis J. Novick, the executive director of Maimonides Hospital Geriatric Center in Montreal, presented at the World Conference of Jewish Communal Services held in Jerusalem in Israel, July 4th, 1989. I thought, well, it's amazing that I stumbled upon this on July 4th, a presentation he gave on July 4th. Well, Mr. Novick, that executive director of that geriatric center, summarized the duties of children toward parents, saying the responsibility of offspring to their parents, which is expressed in honoring them, supporting them financially when they require it, and the children have the means to supply it, and being physically present when such presence is necessary to sustain the emotional health of parents, is a basic tenet of Jewish ethics. You know, I think about all those older folks with children who were abandoned and left in these geriatric centers where the children could not supply them with their spiritual needs, their emotional health. It should make all of us just sick that proper care wasn't taken to make sure that the children could give proper care to their parents. So many have died alone. I've heard some horror stories about funerals where wives and children could not be present, or husbands could not be present when the spouse or the parent died. What kind of sick society have we allowed to take place, to be created by godless people? It's a basic God-ordained, commanded responsibility. Who thinks that the government can take that away from us? Well, in keeping with all these duties and commandments of children towards parents, even from the agony of the cross, in the agony of the Holy Cross, Jesus honored his mother and made sure he fulfilled his Jewish duty when he entrusted the care of Mary to St. John. And as is clear from this, our Lord had no other brothers and sisters for whom the care of Mary would have been entrusted. So take that, every single one of you anti-Catholic Protestants who denigrate the perpetual virginity of Mary based on some false and modernist anti-Catholic interpretation of biblical passages. If Mary would have had other children, if she hadn't maintained perpetual virginity, if Joseph had not maintained perpetual chastity from the moment of marriage forward, there would have been other brothers and sisters that the Jewish law would have required to take care of Mary. It wasn't the case. When they say something like that, they're liars and heretics. Enough. I mean, there comes a point in your life when you get as old as me, when you just get sick and tired of hearing that stupidity. There were no other children. Mary was perpetually virginal. In that same moment that Jesus gave his mother to all of us for safekeeping, in that moment, Jesus gave his mother to all of us for safekeeping. For as the Magnificat declares, all ages will call me blessed. She's our blessed mother. And so we venerate our blessed mother and have done so since the beginning. There's never been a time when Holy Mother Church hasn't venerated our blessed mother until the smoke of Satan entered the church, just like, as you've heard before so many times, Pope St. Paul VI said so. Dear family, the stories are legion, how Satan directed an attack on Mother Mary since Vatican II, when so many statues and images of her were desecrated, thrown into dumpsters, and minions of hell recovated our sacred sanctuaries and got rid of her. Satan is the one who directed the attack on Mother Mary after Vatican II, when seminarians who presented even with having a devotion to our Blessed Mother or dared to pray the Holy Rosary as she urged us to do at Fatima and ever since, when those seminarians were kicked out of seminaries. The stories are legion. Do we comprehend, dear family, that Satan hates the Blessed Virgin, that his hatred towards her is second perhaps only to his hatred of Jesus. And it certainly follows that Satan hates Mother Mary because he already knows, you can see it there on that beautiful image of our Blessed Mother, he already knows that Mary is going to crush him in the end. That's what's going on. She's crushing him. So do we fully comprehend why it is that Satan, through his willing minions on earth, attacked Mother Mary with such vigor? And why Satan attacked the Holy Eucharist similarly? When we ponder how Satan's minions, or to use the phrase that was coined applied to Lenin, or his useful idiots, denigrated the praying of the Holy Rosary or reverent reception of the Holy Eucharist, when we ponder the destruction of faith amongst baptized Catholics caused by this attack, do we really wonder why so few Catholics bother to come to Holy Mass and so few Catholics believe in the real presence? Dear family, all we need to know about whether someone is on the narrow road to heaven is to examine that person's state of devotion toward Mother Mary and toward the Holy Eucharist. And we know that if the person is not on the narrow road to heaven, then the person is on the broad road to hell. The narrow road to heaven isn't the default. Well, I haven't done anything particularly bad. Well, we have an affirmative duty to do good. Do good, avoid evil. So one of the ways we do good is we live up to the tenets of our faith. We honor and venerate the Blessed Mother Mary. Dear family, on this great American holiday, July 4th, the day of the Declaration of Independence, let us ponder how remarkable it is that in the great United States, we still have the freedom enshrined in a human-made Declaration of Independence and in a human-made Constitutional Bill of Rights, the freedom to live our faith as we have done for 2,000 years. And to uphold the Mother of God as our mother without fear of persecution or oppression. Oh, I know, sometimes government people get oppressive. That's why we have a court system, to tell them they're not allowed to do that. But then let us realize that it was not the U.S. government that persecuted faithful Catholic seminarians in seminary because of their devotion to the Mother of God, but rather it was Judases within the seminary who persecuted faithful Catholic seminarians and even kicked them out. The stories are legion. And then, dear family, realize that the reason so much of the church is in the mess that it's in is because many of the seminarians who were allowed to stay did not have devotion to the Blessed Mother or the Holy Eucharist. Hear this again, because this really is an eye-opener. And until this morning, I never even thought of it quite in this way. Let us realize that it was not the U.S. government that persecuted faithful Catholic seminarians in seminary because of their devotion to the Mother of God or the Holy Eucharist. But rather, it was Judases within the seminary who persecuted faithful Catholic seminarians and even kicked them out because of their devotion to our Blessed Mother, because of their devotion to the Holy Eucharist. And then realize that the reason the church is in the mess that it's in now is because many of the seminarians who were allowed to stay did not have a devotion to our Blessed Mother or the Holy Eucharist. Just ponder that. Comprehend that, dear family, the truth of that revelation. Whenever you see the sacrilegious recovations in our sanctuary, somebody just sent me a picture of a church, I won't say where they took a normal church, a normal Catholic church, looked like this kind of a Catholic church, and they recovated it. They removed the center focus of God and they stuck an altar in the middle and they put these chairs in the round all around it so you're looking at each other and not focusing on Jesus. And it won some sort of international architectural award. Listen, if a Catholic church wins some sort of architectural international award right away, you know there's a problem. This is what wins God's award, the focus on Almighty God. And that's the only award that should ever matter to any one of us. Comprehend, dear family, when you see such sacrilegious recreations in our sanctuaries and the diabolical deformations of our sacred liturgies, the list of which I don't need to go through, you're already fully aware. Your family, realize that. That is a symptom of the cause, which was seminarians who did not have a devotion to our Blessed Mother and did not have a devotion to the Holy Eucharist were allowed to stay. Dear family, we win in the end. We know this. Our Lord conquers in the end. Our Blessed Mother crushes Satan in the end. But in the meantime, between then and now, there's going to be some very troubled times. We're living in them now. So let us, as our Blessed Mother has always urged us to do, let us turn to her, ask for her intercession. Our Lady of the Holy Rosary, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.